Shalom. Welcome to the series we titled Trimming the Lamp. And this is part one. Which lamp? Remember that Psalm 119 and verse 105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. This is important to make a lot of clarifications and make sure nobody is left in any confusion concerning this further light we've been talking about in this ministry. Remember that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, after the seven parables, the Lord Jesus Christ had this to say. He said, then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And this scribe that is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, I believe I am one of them. And one thing about the kingdom of heaven that he spoke, first and foremost, the kingdom of heaven is referring to the period of the church, the period that Christ comes to pick a church for himself. But you need to be instructed. The householder there needs to be instructed. The minister needs to be instructed to know the revelation of the kingdom of heaven. This period of grace is called the kingdom of heaven. And so, in parables, you'll be saying the kingdom of heaven is like unto, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. One of the parables is describing what the church will go through. It's in Matthew 25 and from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. That is where we get the topic for this series. We call trimming the lamp. They are in series. I will be taking these doctrines one after the other. For today, we'll be looking at this part one. The topic for today is understanding the kingdom of heaven. Because the scribe has to be instructed in the kingdom of heaven. And I am one of the scribes. And I believe I am also instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 4 verse 17, Jesus began to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was talking about this period of grace. And in Matthew 13, verse 33, he now brought something that we should learn to know where we are now. And remember, he spoke in parables. And when he came to Matthew 13, as he began to let us know what the kingdom of heaven is, in Matthew chapter 13, after he spoke in parables, he will always end up saying, who had ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 9 and verse 10 of Matthew 13, he said, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That simply means it's not everyone that will understand the mystery of redemption. But how do we know you understand it or not? Because everyone will try to claim they know it. And so we test your knowledge, your revelation from the Word of God. And it's very simple if you're a Bible student to catch this revelation if God opens your eyes. And so in Matthew 13 verse 33, he said, the kingdom of heaven, you know, wanted to make us know how it will look like. This period of grace where he will be using the period to get a bride for himself. He said in verse 33, he said, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. You see, it's describing what will happen. Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The 3 measures of meal we're talking about, the 3 works of grace, justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost doctrine. The woman there is the woman described as that false prophetess. I call it as a prophetess, Jezebel. The Bible call her whore, mother of harlots. She is also found in Revelation chapter 17. And that we know, all theologians know, that is talking in the history of the church, the only group of people that did that was the Roman church. We all know that. I'm going to be summarizing these things. You can go back to our sermons where we took time to dissect them. I just want to give you the picture, possibly the timeline or a step by step. So just get the picture and you will know where we are now. Those 3 measures of meal, leaven there is false doctrine, mixed it and corrupted the whole process of salvation and got us into the confusion that we are still in now. But God can never be defeated. Satan sometimes thinks he is dealing with us, unknown to him, is only pushing us to fulfill God's purpose, God's agenda in our lives. Concerning his church, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. All things work together for good. Mark chapter 4, now Christ himself began to describe to us how the kingdom of God, this period, will look like, what will happen, how it will be formed. In chapter 4 and verse 26 up to verse 29, if you have heard me before, just patiently follow. Sometimes you catch it, sometimes it becomes clearer. So when I repeat what I've been saying, it is because I want to make sure that person that is listening to us for the first time will also flow with us. It's not tautology, it's not repetition. Verse 26 of Mark chapter 4, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. He's talking about this same kingdom of heaven, period. As if a man should cast it into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. This parable gives you the key to the understanding of the progressiveness of revelation. For the just shall live by faith. And we are to move from faith to faith. Faith to faith is revelation to revelation. And unless you have revelation, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Revelation. Because the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. And by revelation, it's by revelation. My prayer is that we will serve God acceptably, because you may be serving God and serving him by a wrong understanding. And once you are wrong in your understanding, you will never reach the destination that you are going as far as salvation is concerned. And so that parable tells us a very serious key that unlocks the understanding of the salvation process. In John chapter 12 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ himself emphasized, he said, "Very, very, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abided alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit." It's a principle for sowing and reaping. It is principle for multiplication of seeds, of fruits. And every farmer knows, any seed you plant, it is not that seed you plant that you will harvest. It dies first. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35, he said, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?" And this is the answer: "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." It's a principle. It is a principle. Even for salvation. That's why he says, except a man be born again, because that old nature can never resurrect and bring forth any fruit. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except you are born of spirit and water, and you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. The Bible says so in John chapter 3 and verse 3 and verse 5. And that is why the church at the Pentecost is the seed that was planted. God allowed it to die through what that woman did. The whole world was killed. The light of the gospel was killed. When paganism and the Christian faith married together in that Nicaea Council meeting where the decision was taken in AD 325, all theologians know that. And in God's divine agenda, he had already seen it and shown John, who put it in the book of Revelation, and that is where we see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to, if you read it up to verse 29, and that is the activity you also see in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, which is actually the Thyatiran church age, the fourth church age, and the fifth church age, the Sardisian church age. The killing, of course, started virtually, it died. It started immediately the church started, depicted by those three horse riders in Revelation chapter 6. But by the time we come to the third horse rider, Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, you see the horse has now changed to black, which is depicting the dark ages where the word of God, the light, was totally killed. But the dead seed, one interesting thing about this nature principle that God put in seeds for multiplication is that seed that you plant on the ground, you bury there, the old nature will die, but there is a life that is inside that is preserved. That is why when we die, we are buried. There is a life inside of us that will cause a resurrection. That's why in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "The spirit of him that raised up Christ dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body by that spirit that dwell in you." The life that is in you remains there. That seed that remains there, it will not die. And that is why in the Sardisian church age, the fifth church age, which is the darkest period of the Christian faith, you will see that the commentary to the Sardisian church age, this is the commentary so that you understand why the Spirit put it that way to John. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 up to verse 4, the Sardisian church age, which is the fifth church age. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing said he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." That is to that age. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now my emphasis is verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You see? Despite the fact that it's the darkest hour of the Christian faith, 1,000 years of the rulership of the Roman church, no light at all, but God still reserved his own, like he told Elijah, he had up to 7,000 that did not bow to Baal. Now, this is the life that he was going to anoint and cause it to spring up. That is why you see in verse 5 and verse 6 of Revelation chapter 6, you see that last statement there, that hot not the wine and the oil. It is a revival that will take place towards the end of the dark ages. Let me put it in the darkest time of the dark ages. And this revival will be spearheaded by those few that were in Sardis that still bear the light. He said that refused to defile their garments. They did not defile their garments. They still held on to God, even though in that darkness, God preserved them for a purpose so that they will respond to the cry and the shout. They are the ones that God were going to hear the shout for. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ begins with the shout of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. And Christ called it the midnight cry, like we read in Matthew chapter 25. And verse 6. This oil and the wine is a revival that is a response to this shout. That is the revival that James chapter 5, verse 7 referred to as the latter rain. And it is this revival that will produce the foolish and the wise virgins in this age. Now, because the way you respond will show whether you are foolish or you are wise. And so you can see it where you see the foolish virgins there. The corn was planted. The seed of corn was planted. It died. But when the rain of the latter day's revival of James chapter 5 verse 7 began to fall, then what was under the ground, buried under those false religions, began to spring up. It began to spring up. The process of producing back what was in the Acts of Apostles, the apostolic doctrines, the apostolic faith, began with that revival, and it started with a blade that shot out. The ear is the second stage. The corn in the ear, these are all the stages for that seed that was planted to come and be formed again. It goes through four stages, the blade, the ear, and it qualifies it, full corn in the ear. And then when the fruit is now produced, then the rapture takes place. It takes the sickles. I take it again, the blade, the ear, the corn in the ear, and then according to that parable, full corn. It has to be full corn in the ear. Emphasis, full corn in the ear. But yet the fruit is not formed. He said, but when the fruit is formed, that is the fourth stage. And I always want us to remember that our emphasis is in the shout ministry, what God is doing. We are at the end time, and we're talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our concern is not what happened in the last four church ages. we are concerned about the last three church ages, which is the Sardisian church age, the Philadelphian church age, and the Laodicean church age. For these three ages were the period that God himself decided to restore the church. We are the product of that revival. I keep repeating it. That will bring total restoration of what that woman did with the three measures of meal. And remember, it's not only justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are other doctrines that hang also on these three works of grace. And so we want to look at these last three servants of God that God used. But since there are four stages, there will also be four ministers that God will use in this age. Look at it. It's not something you manufacture. It's not something you infer. It's not something you think. It's clear. It's clear demonstrated by that parable. That's why Christ gave us that parable. The blade there shot out to tell us when justification was restored. And there is a man that God used. God used Martin Luther. Everybody knows that. For that blade, he brought in justification. After that, the ear came out. Wesley's ministry, confirming Wesley's ministry. For he came with the restoration of sanctification, the doctrine of sanctification, to the church. There is a black man by the name of William Seymour that God used to restore the gifts in the Azusa Street Revival. We all know in 1906. But after that, we then have the need for another ministry to come up, which is the perfecting ministry. And so God raised up another man by the name of William Marion Branham, because there were other things that people run off during the Reformation. These reformers, you could hardly see a group of people that believed the totality of the apostolic faith. God used him and brought all and corrected the errors that the Lutherans, that corrected the errors of the Wesleyans and the Pentecostals. He corrected their error and gave us a perfect picture of what the church of God looks like. And the truth about it is, if you come back to the apostolic faith, it will not just be grammar. It is in power. Demonstration of the Spirit and power. Because God has to confirm the word. You see, let's be very sincere with ourselves. When I used to be in my former church, intermessage pastors used to visit us, visiting pastors. They will come up, you will hear them say, denomination is of the devil, denomination is of the devil. Well, I have never been a member of any denomination before. The first church I ever entered after I gave my life to Christ is the Message Believing Churches, one of them. And I didn't know anything else about the denomination. But there was something I was looking at. I attended one or two of their programs. I watched them on the television. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, things were happening. Healing, deliverance was taking place. And somebody is coming to me and saying, that is of the devil. But then show us the one of God now. Grammar, 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 grammar. Quote to quote to quote. Nothing to show for it. I refuse to follow them. Because my kind of faith is not a follow-follow faith. Many of you message believers, is you are bewitched to just follow what any man says without the ability to dissect what they are saying. Not me. And that's always the problem most of these people who have pastored me before have had. You just want me to take what you tell me even when I'm not convinced. One of them is throw away your television. I say, tell me what television? How, is that box the devil? Okay. And I refused. I was in a church where I was the only one that had television. I refused. That was in 1990, up to 95. Because you could not convince me that to keep television is sin. the Father God told William Branham, as according to his testimony, does not mean that every one of us should not keep television. Now, God has vindicated my stand. And many of us too, who did not believe that. You are now having internet. By now, people should be sincere enough, like Pastor Kumuyi is. I have respect for him for that. There are things you stand for that time has proved that you are wrong. You still hold on to it. It simply means something is wrong with your faith and understanding. You are not sincere. Because television and the internet, which one is more evil? If it is because of the evil programs in television that you will not watch it, then you should also know, if William Branham were around, it means he will not allow you to watch internet. Which is more evil. And how can I allow such people pastor me who have no bearing, who have no conviction, who are just tape recorders, the one that says, say what the tape say. Even when the tape is saying something contrary to what the Bible is saying. It's wrong. The bride is not made of that spirit. The elect of God is not made of that spirit. And that is why the bride, the elect, can never be deceived. Because they will never take the word of a man above the word of God. We are like the Rechabites. We are like the Rechabites. That's the problem most of my friends in the message have with me. Because I won't follow them and be preaching like a parrot. Follow these things. You will see that even William Branham himself acknowledged it. And that is the quote I'm trying to read for us here. This is what he had to say. I've quoted it several times, but I will not hesitate to keep quoting it because this has settled my problem. In paragraph 90, in case you are hearing me for the first time, he preached in 1965 in the morning. The title is God's Only Provided Place of Worship. William Branham in paragraph 90 said, well, that's the way it is in this age that we are living in. You've got to find what is God's way of doing it for this age. That's what Martin Luther found. That's what John Wesley found. That's what the Pentecostals found in their age. You can see the progressiveness. God's age and time to do it. There is God's age and time for justification. That's why he called Luther. There was God's time for John Wesley, for sanctification, and God used Wesley. That is what he's acknowledging. God's time for the gifts to be restored under this, what we call the Pentecostal age, and God used that man, William Simon. He said God's age and time to do it. That is the progressiveness of his agenda, the revelation of God's agenda for salvation. Now, in paragraph 91, William Branham continued in that same message. Now, the Pentecostals, the brother, he was acknowledging who God used. I believe his one eye is describing him, of his eyes was out, one of his eyes was out, a colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California, the old Azusa Street. Now, we know that he's referring to William Seymour. He was laughed at because he was a black man, a Negro. He was made fun of. But he brought a message for that age. Which age? Pentecostal age. And that is the Laodicean church age. Just a little body, a fellow, could hardly sign his own name, but the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age for the restoration of those gifts. And they come. No matter what said, it come. But everybody got in the atmosphere of it, which is the reason why the necessitation of the fourth stage. You see? But everybody got in the atmosphere of it, and seen it was that age, and seen God vindicated that those people could speak with tongues and so forth, it happened. But then, when he went and pinned it down, that this is the only evidence that killed it, see? Goes right on, that did it. Then they started separating this and that and making denominations. And one's coming on a cloud and the other one's coming in a bush and oh mine. Now, let me at this juncture and make a clarification. Simon never thought that speaking in tongue was the only evidence of the Holy Ghost. In fact, he fought it. And I have the books and the record. I have his quote. I have read many of his messages. Because we don't want to be having this second-handed story. Read it yourself. That's the problem we have. And I read it. In fact, he fell apart with a param, one of those that God used together with him in this move. They fell apart because of that. He believed that there are fruit to show if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is a fruit of the Spirit. He believed that the fruit was the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, although you will speak in tongue too. And the type of tongue that they were speaking in Azusa Street at that early time, it's not this one that the Pentecostals are rambling. Blah, 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 blah. They were exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. People were speaking in other people's languages. People were hearing them. That is why they believed that it was the evidence of the Holy Ghost, because they saw that exactly as it happened in the book of Acts, it happened again in 1906 in Azusa Street. But just like they take every messenger, immediately he's gone, the followers will mess it up. Just as the minister of William Branham, immediately God took him away, they messed it up. The Pentecostals also vied off and started teaching all these errors after those people passed away. Nobody was around now to correct them. The leaders were no more around to correct them. William Branham is not around to correct all the mess that is going on. And you can see all the nonsense that they are doing with his name and that ministry, and what they are using the quote to achieve, selfish agendas that they are using those quotes to do. And you will not blame William Branham for it, just as you will not blame Simon for all the doctrines, false doctrines that the Pentecostals are peddling around now. So William Branham himself acknowledged it. And in another message in 1959, "What is the Holy Ghost?" the title, in paragraph 75, he said, "Luther walked in one light. Wesley walked in another." You see? Wesley walked in one light. Pentecost walked in another. He said, "But we," oh glory be to God, "followers of the ministry of William Branham, but we are walking on higher than that today." We are walking on higher than justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are walking. What is higher? The perfecting ministry. Because you are running with one, we are running with the totality. All thanks to the ministry of William Marion Branham. And so, I said, and if there's another generation, it will go beyond us. There is no other generation that will go beyond us. This is the generation that the sickle will be taken, for the harvest has come. Because exactly the seed that was planted at Pentecost is now formed. The only thing left now is the rapture. But take note that we are in a different age, and that age is the age of perfection. And that's why some people quarrel with me when I said, unless you believe the ministry of William Branham, you can never go in the rapture. I was not talking about the cloud. I was not talking about the pillar of fire. I was not talking about the voice that spoke to him. I was not talking about the Sabio Kanya experience. I was not talking about the prophecies that he gave. I am talking about the message he brought from above that will perfect us. Pillar of cloud will not perfect us. I don't know why they are fighting over it. Pillar of fire will not perfect us. I don't know why they are fighting over it. A voice is said, so that we will believe the message. Know that that is from God. They are all vindications from God. And so, when I make that statement, I'm talking about the ministry of perfection. Unless the fruit is formed, unless you are perfected, you can never go in the rapture. And the ministry of perfection in the Church of Jesus Christ is committed to the fivefold ministry. Therefore, God used William Branham to break forth the fivefold ministry. And so, the ministry that is on now is the ministry for perfection according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and verse 12. Okay. So you can see why our emphasis is on the shout. The shout produced these four. Now, these four stages. Reason for the fourth stage of that plant. Just listen very carefully. The reason, like I'm stating, the first reason is for perfection. Because of all the loose ends that are left, this one, whole one, run off with it and reject the other. But when LeBron came, said, no, you can't reject it. You need it for your perfection. You need predestination. You need the oneness. You need baptism in the name of Jesus. You need eternal security doctrine. And you need to stop ordaining women. You need to stop teaching that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And you need to add sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need justification. You need it, sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need all this together. That is the ministry of William Branham. And that is the fourth stage. After the seven church ages is complete. And I want you to watch. These types may help you understand, as we have been stressing in our past sermons. You will notice that Mark chapter 13, in verse 34 and verse 35, mentions four watches. Even midnight, cockcrow, and the morning concerning the coming of the Lord. He may come in the evening, in the midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning, four stages for the coming of the Lord. And in John chapter 4, if you read it from verse 35, read it up to verse 38, he said something about 4 months. You said there are 4 months, then cometh harvest. Why four? 4 months before the harvest. 4 months. That is what everybody knows to the people he was talking to. Remember, he's using the plant and the harvest, the sowing and the harvest, the planting and the harvest, to let us understand the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. 4 months, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the perfecting ministry. Remember, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 11, if you read through, Elijah was to be raptured. And Elijah went through four cities. He went through Gilgal. He went through Bethel. He went through Jericho. And then Jordan. And the rapture took place. Four stages. Four stages. And remember that we all know, four is God's number for deliverance. Seven is God's number for perfection. For completion. And the rapture, therefore, takes place in the seventh church age. That is what we see. We can learn that Jude verse 14, making reference to Genesis 5:24 concerning Enoch, that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was raptured. He's talking about the church that will be raptured in the seventh church age. But also, take note that after the seven church ages in Esther chapter 2, after the seven chamberlains of chapter 1 of Esther, we see another chamberlain, Hegai, and two other chamberlains, Hegai and Shaashgaz. And we can see that perfectly typed. Hegai in chapter 2 is referred to as the keeper of the women for the king. And he's the one that dresses them to present them before the king. If you reject to submit yourself for the perfecting message, then you will end up in the denomination that is typed by the chamberlain called Shaashgaz. Every denominational person that refused to be perfected through the ministry of perfection, as God has delivered to us, building wall around you, we believe, even when you are showing them things in the Bible, you are under the ministry of Shaashgaz if you are in that church. And they are carrying, quote, everyone that build your faith around, quote, 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 and we are showing something, unless William Branham say it, you will not accept it. You won't even read the Bible again. You just want to play the tape of William Branham. What's the difference between you and the denomination? And some of us, unknowingly, God has pushed to the Shah Asghars, who will fight you if you say any other thing other than what William Branham said. And you even check among them, you will see life there. There's no life there. See the way they are angry at me just because I disagree on doctrine. Then you will call me Antichrist. You call me devil. You call up, say all manner of things. So where did you learn that? Certainly you didn't learn. If you have any quote that supports that, then I will reject that quote. It cannot be of God. So where is maturity? No life. Hatred, fight. They are ready to kill me, ready to poison me. Because I say no. I see different. William Branham, I don't see position of a Gentile Elijah. Hey, he always of the devil. The devil. What is the message? They are not ready to preach the message. They are ready because you are trying to lower their idol. But unfortunately for them, because they are blinding by error, they can't even see that I have elevated William Branham higher than they have even done. That is the mystery of redemption. And so, the Bible also tells us, as it was in Luke chapter 17, if you read it from verse 28, it says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. So let's see. Just before Lot was brought out of Sodom, so that fire will come down, there were two angels there that were in Sodom. Therefore, the seventh church age, the age for the rapture, there will be two servants of God on ground, William Simon and William Branham. I believe it. It types it perfectly. It makes me know that we are truly at the end. And what are they to do? They are to bring us out of Sodom. Bring us out for the rapture. And as soon as we go, fire will come down. Fire will go. Fire cannot come down until we leave this place. Until Lot leaves Sodom, the fire will not come down. And is it coincidence that they are all called William, William? Seven letters. William, seven letters. William, seven letters. So just like the two prophets also for Israel. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, there are two ministries also, Moses and Elijah, also to Israel, that will take them out before the great tribulation. The elect will be taken away on the two wings of a great eagle. It's talking about Moses and Elijah, the prophetic grace, the prophetic anointing. Those two prophets. The same way among the Gentiles, he also brings two ministries for the Gentiles. It's not Elijah. It is Simon to cap up the full corn, and William Branham, the ministry for perfection. And it is not a prophet. No. Remember that, and that will take us next time when we come, when we shall take a look again at the symbol of our faith. Because under the black horse rider, the beast that said, come and see, when that third seal was opened, that beast was the one in Revelation chapter 4 with the face like a man. Why? Because it's at that age that God is going to use men. And remember that the disciples asked Jesus in John chapter 6. They asked him, then said they, verse 28, unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe on him whom he has sent. And that is the man that he will use. Face of a man. The man Luther. The man Wesley. The man William Simon. And the man William Branham. And that shout continues till we go in the rapture. Then the fourth seal will be opened. And with this, I hope we are able to understand the kingdom of heaven as Christ tried to use the parables to explain to us. For any further question, meet us on Ask the Pastor, live television program, and stream on all our platforms. Ask the Pastor, 7 p.m. every Monday. And I will be available. Any other pastor can be available. And you feel free to ask your question. Give us a call or give us a text. Shalom, until we go to another topic of trimming the lamp, remain ever rapturable. Amen.